Now turn to part 3. You will hear 5 different people talking about journeys they have made. For questions 19 to 23, choose from the list A to H the correct word or phrase that describes how each person completed their journey. Use the letters only once. There are 3 extra letters which you do not need to use. You now have 30 seconds in which to look through part 3.
Speaker 1.
We were going up to York to see her relatives. It was quite early in the morning, as I recall. There wasn't too much traffic on the roads, so we were doing a good 90 up the central lane of the M1. And there were still plenty of other vehicles passing us in the fast lane. And then suddenly, out of nowhere, there was a car in front of us, doing about 50. It must have moved out of the slow lane to overtake something really slow. Anyway, Jessica saw it first and shouted, "Look out!" And Sally braked, but we still went into the back of it. Luckily no one was hurt, but the front of the car was completely smashed in.
Speaker 2.
So, I locked my bike and told the guard to keep a good eye on it. It's still worth quite a lot of money even now. And then I went to find a seat. We'd started moving by then, which made it more difficult going from carriage to carriage. I went all the way up to the front and then all the way back again, and the only seat I could find was in a first-class compartment. So I was just making myself comfortable when the guard appeared. I suppose he could have made much more trouble if he'd wanted to. You see, he'd seen my ticket, so he knew it was only for second class. But he was a decent bloke and he just gave me a warning.
Speaker 3.
I was already running late when I came out of the door. I got in the car, turned the ignition key, and nothing happened. I didn't have time to look under the bonnet, so I set off on foot to get a train. What I had forgotten was that the trains were on strike. So anyway, after that, I tried for about half an hour to get a number 8 bus. 4 came past, but they were all totally packed, of course. Then I saw Jack going past in his red Capri, but he was in too much of a hurry to see me. So after that, I tried phoning 3 different taxi companies, but I was out of luck there, and in the end, I had no choice but to set off on a 4-mile march to the office. I arrived 2 hours late.
Speaker 4.
I'd just reached the bottom of Furze Hill, and I was really going quite fast, when I must have accidentally touched my brakes or something, because the next thing, the chain had come off. So, I pulled over and stopped, and then tried to put it back on without getting oil all over my hands and my clothes. That wouldn't go down too well in the office. So I found this piece of paper lying beside the road, and used it to hold the chain with. And it was only when I'd finished that I noticed that this piece of paper had been a hot dog wrapper, and so I had mustard and ketchup and disgusting greasy stuff all over my hands.
Speaker 5.
So there I was, sitting looking out of the window, and we'd been sitting there for over an hour by then. We taxied to the end of the runway and just waited and waited for something to happen. I was getting a bit bored with the few buildings we could see from where we were. I could just make out the road in the distance with the occasional car or bus. And it was about then that I suddenly remembered that I'd left the back door unlocked. Of course, I told Bill, but we both agreed there was nothing we could do until we got to our destination. And of course, by then, it was too late.
You will hear the piece again. Speaker 1.
We were going up to York to see her relatives. It was quite early in the morning, as I recall. There wasn't too much traffic on the roads, so we were doing a good 90 up the central lane of the M1. And there were still plenty of other vehicles passing us in the fast lane. And then suddenly, out of nowhere, there was a car in front of us, doing about 50. It must have moved out of the slow lane to overtake something really slow. Anyway, Jessica saw it first and shouted, "Look out!" And Sally braked, but we still went into the back of it. Luckily, no one was hurt, but the front of the car was completely smashed in.
Speaker 2.
So, I locked my bike and told the guard to keep a good eye on it. It's still worth quite a lot of money even now. And then I went to find a seat. We'd started moving by then, which made it more difficult going from carriage to carriage. I went all the way up to the front and then all the way back again, and the only seat I could find was in a first-class compartment. So I was just making myself comfortable when the guard appeared. I suppose he could have made much more trouble if he'd wanted to. You see, he'd seen my ticket, so he knew it was only for second class. But he was a decent bloke, and he just gave me a warning.
Speaker 3.
I was already running late when I came out of the door. I got in the car, turned the ignition key, and nothing happened. I didn't have time to look under the bonnet, so I set off on foot to get a train. What I had forgotten was that the trains were on strike. So anyway, after that, I tried for about half an hour to get a number 8 bus. 4 came past, but they were all totally packed, of course. Then I saw Jack going past in his red Capri, but he was in too much of a hurry to see me. So after that, I tried phoning 3 different taxi companies, but I was out of luck there, and in the end, I had no choice but to set off on a 4-mile march to the office. I arrived 2 hours late.
Speaker 4.
I'd just reached the bottom of Furze Hill, and I was really going quite fast, when I must have accidentally touched my brakes or something, because the next thing, the chain had come off. So, I pulled over and stopped, and then tried to put it back on without getting oil all over my hands and my clothes. That wouldn't go down too well in the office. So I found this piece of paper lying beside the road and used it to hold the chain with. And it was only when I'd finished that I noticed that this piece of paper had been a hot dog wrapper, and so I had mustard and ketchup and disgusting greasy stuff all over my hands.
Speaker 5.
So there I was, sitting looking out of the window, and we'd been sitting there for over an hour by then. We taxied to the end of the runway and just waited and waited for something to happen. I was getting a bit bored with the few buildings we could see from where we were. I could just make out the road in the distance with the occasional car or bus. And it was about then that I suddenly remembered that I'd left the back door unlocked. Of course, I told Bill, but we both agreed there was nothing we could do until we got to our destination. And of course, by then, it was too late.
That is the end of part 3.